حق الصحابة, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
8:34 Central African Time, and Alhamdulillah, from Council we go to the Parliament with our very own Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, who is the leader of the NFP. Ahmad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, beautiful day in the city of Cape Town. Well, as you know, many parts of the country were celebrating Heritage Day yesterday. And I'm not sure what they used to celebrate about, particularly for the Khoi and San community, despite all recognizing the UN DRIP and other agreements that have been entered into. South African government particularly pays very little attention to the plight of the Khoi and San community, which is without any doubt the first indigenous nation of this country. So I've had the opportunity of addressing two different gatherings yesterday in two different parts of the Western Cape, but alhamdulillah, all went well. Khalima Motlanthe, former president, says Cyril Ramaphosa has a case to answer, and particularly as a result of the delay in the investigations that are taking place and the fact that there's not much being said by the president himself. Well, Stellenbosch University is at it again, and another student, you know, has gone and done something untoward and urinated on another roommate's chair. You know, it really cannot understand the conduct and the ill discipline among some of these people. You know, as correctly alluded to previously, Brother Shafiq, that there's something untoward about the SAA matter. Well, there's another organization called Toto Investments South Africa, raising serious concerns about Minister Godan not disclosing to them all the information about the Takatso deal that they have, and they are bringing an application in court to set aside this deal, and very importantly, they're asking him to be more transparent, something that Parliament failed to do. Some of the ministers themselves don't know what is going on, so it raises serious questions as to exactly what is going on here. And as you know, not long ago, 2 days or 3 days ago, we've also heard that they might go into liquidation. So what is really going on? Why is it that some government officials or members of the cabinet enter into these secret deals with these people without taking the country into its confidence? What is the reason for these things? And that's what I think we're going to have to at some stage address. And, of course, a lot of counterfeit goods this time. Can you imagine East, Anchor East and the Gold Star East, counterfeit goods, and quite a few people appear to have been arrested as a result of that. South Africa has gone and done and quite what you call, and I will call, an urgent deal with independent power producers for 420 megawatts of energy. Even though the initial target was 2,500 megawatts with 25 projects, but they've entered into a deal for three projects. Well, we'll have to see what results this will bring in. But these are just some of the things that is making headlines in the country. But this week we are going to be debating, which is brought by one of the parties, on an ad hoc committee to investigate the Palapala farm scandal. And then, of course, we'd be dealing with the issue of land, the Section 25, amongst other things. And again, the president is supposed to appear before the parliament on Thursday for another question and answer session. And you know what happened the last time. That question that remained unanswered, where the president said his advice was that he should not respond, because it's under investigation, that has now been put back on the order paper. And so you can expect Thursday to be a very complicated day in Parliament, that you can clear attention, and there's going to be undue delay, I can assure you. So Thursday, yes, and Friday, on Thursday is the last day for this particular term. And then you're going to recess for about a week and a half or two.
You know, Ahmed, you make a lot of points. You talk about counterfeit goods, but, you know, recently we had people stealing water from the fire hydrant, and maybe they can be even stealing sewage water, but they're bottling it and they're giving it out as a bottled water and so forth. And then you say, you know, you get yeast now being counterfeited. And, you know, all the, like, even the tablets, maybe like the Panados and the Grandpas and the Vicks and all these things are all counterfeit goods. And these guys are, you know, calling the price. I mean, they're not giving you a counterfeit price. They charge you the price of what the product goes for. Your thoughts there, Ahmed?
Yes, you agree. You know, I was a victim of that, you know. I remember buying one day was the Gillette blades to shave. And I just found it was not effective enough. So I thought, let me make the effort of phoning this company. And when I phoned them and they asked me to read certain codes and whatever it is, and we established that exactly the same thing that is made and marketed in many of the stores in the country is fake. And it doesn't last like the Gillette does. So there's anything and everything that is manufactured in the country at the moment, you've got to have to look deep into it, because a lot of the stuff is fake goods, counterfeit goods that are being manufactured. And some of the stores, the retail stores, are selling these things. Whether they are aware of it or not, I don't know. But fact is, there's a lot of counterfeit goods going on. I'm surprised, though, that, you know, government, particularly the enforcement authorities, are going for these things. Yet on the streets, they do nothing, absolutely nothing, about the enormous amount of counterfeit stuff you get in terms of clothing and shoes and that kind of stuff that we know that people are selling in all these flea markets and things that are counterfeit. And I don't know why they don't tackle that as well to the extent that they do with other products. But, you know, I guess government needs to create a new department to be able to deal with counterfeit together with those registered trademark companies so that they could contribute effectively to this. But on the issue of water and fire hydrant, it's been happening for a very long time, where they said not only with bottled water, but people are stealing water from the fire hydrant. The guys are washing your cars on the streets, are taking the water from fire hydrants and things. It's a massive problem. Every opportunity that somebody gets, given the fact that their understanding or interpretation of the rule of law in South Africa is that they can get away with anything, they tend to do these things again and again. But it just shows how little the respect you have for the rule of law in this country, to the extent that people go. And, you know, until there's going to be, we're going to deal with the criminal justice system in the country, you're not going to be able to overcome these challenges in terms of crime in the country. I mean, if you look at the number of homeless people, you know, when I was driving yesterday morning, before I caught a flight, so I was very early in the road, and I could see this woman gathering with a whole lot of children already. Now, these are the people that are sleeping on the streets, version. And the mothers are sitting in one corner, and the children are begging at every street corner. Children are 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old. That's the age they are. But it looks like that they get their work shopping early in the morning. And she calls them through together, tells them exactly what is expected, sits and relax while all these children are in the different street corners. Law enforcement is doing nothing. Why, in any event, is a child at that age allowed to be on the street corners, you know, begging? Who's accountable for these things? Where are these parents of these children? Are they getting any social assistance? Do these children ever go to school? Because they're there every day, brother.
No, absolutely, Ahmed. And as you said, you're very observant and you know what's going on. I mean, begging has become a million-dollar business, a million-rand business in this country. And I'm looking at a message from Riyadh. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. Ahmed Manzoor. I'm so used. I just spoke to Ahmed Parak now. He says, Ahmed Manzoor, I want to tell you that we're talking about counterfeit goods. Are you aware of counterfeit rice and counterfeit eggs? Both made like plasticated and both comes from China. Please, Ahmed, we don't know what we're eating anymore. How do you respond to Riyaz, Ahmed Manzoor?
Counterfeit eggs, Brother Shafat. I really love Riyaz to explain to me what is this all about. I'm actually surprised while I know anything is possible, I'm confused when you talk about counterfeit eggs and rice. Perhaps if I understand it correctly, you know, the labels are what is misleading. And that happens all the time. It really happens all the time. There's no doubt about it, you know. The only thing I think people won't be able to counterfeit and convince you will be the Cadbury's chocolate, saying, Brother Shepherd. You'll know what the Cadbury's chocolate is. They're known all over the world. So you will try to fake that won't work. People will be able to pick it up immediately. But, you know, if you remember, there's been some reports, and some of them were caught red-handed. Was it also the Valpray water, if you remember? The guys were bottling them. They had the labeling machines and they're doing everything there, but it wasn't Valpray water. It was just, you know. But they would do anything and everything just, you know, to get into the market and get sizable profit. So it's profit driven. It's not, you know. But again, it's a crime that's been committed. It's misleading the public. I mean, surely, some of us will have choices that you will not want to just go and drink any bottle of water in the street. You know, you want to be convinced that bottle of water is of good quality. And if you're putting the wrong label, you're misleading the people. So, yes, you know, it's a serious problem. Counterfeit and fake stuff in South Africa is a massive problem. But again, everything to do with unlawfulness is big business in South Africa. So that is why people do what they feel like to.
Mustafa says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak, Ahmed. Hey, I don't know why I'm saying Ahmed Parak. I just see Ahmed Manzoor. But, hey, you know what? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Just put Ahmed Manzoor. Don't put APNAM. Okay. I'm just checking that out. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. I want to tell you, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, that Cyril Ramaphosa and Praveen Gordhan are peas in the same pond. They all are looking for bucks in their own pocket. And this is why they've been capturing all the SIUs. Don't be fooled by them. It was Jacob Zuma that was a benevolent crook. But these are not benevolent crooks. They're taking it all and they're cleaning the pot right to the end. How do you respond there, Ahmed?
Well, they both enjoy a very close relationship. There is no doubt about it. Both have the same, you know, capitalist system, you know, understanding or approach. But I think what is important to note is that there is not even the president, despite all the questions that is being raised about some of these entities, and particularly in this case, the SAA. And it would be very interesting to see what Total Investments is going to uncover as far as this is concerned. And that's prompted me already to ask my researcher to just do some investigation. I've been trying to Google and get the contact numbers of these people to find out more in any event what's going on. But I've always been very suspicious of what is going on. And yes, if you look at the crisis with the state-owned entities and trying to dispose of some of the assets and things like that, you know, it becomes very, very suspicious. Particularly when you also find that the president is not being hard on the Minister of Public Enterprises. Not that I'm expecting miracles from the Minister of Public Enterprises to sort out the problems that he also inherited, but, you know, to give us a comprehensive, workable plan of some of these things, how it's going to work. Now, you would expect that president himself to go down on the ministers to be able to convince the public that yes, indeed, things will be different, that there is a plan that is going to work. And you find that the president is in no hurry to do that either. Rather than that, he's coming to the defense. And that's also prompting people to ask that the minister must be removed. Now, to me, it might not necessarily be the president, the minister cannot take total responsibility, particularly if you've inherited departments that are a mess. But at the same time, we know there's a problem. You need to tell us what is the solution to this problem. It can't be ongoing like we have. There's nothing improved, even under the new minister on the public enterprises. Not one of those state-owned entities have improved. In that period of time, nothing. There's never been a turnaround. So how long must we continue that? And the president is doing very little or nothing about it. And it appears that you know, well, let's be honest about it. We know that Minister Godan, you know, even if he can't see Zuma, he knows that he doesn't want Zuma. He's anti-Zuma, there's no doubt about it. He might have legitimate reasons for it, that's his own, but be that as it may, he's a close ally of Cyril Ramaphosa. And I don't think Cyril Ramaphosa will ever remove Pravin Gordhan completely, even if he moves him from one portfolio to the other. But I don't think he'll remove him completely from his cabinet. That's highly unlikely. Not all his allies. Anyone that's his allies, like Lamola and many others, he'll keep them. That's the point. So it is your relationship, you know, while you talk about cater deployment, yeah, too, it, you know, it's to protect your own interest, and this is basically what it is about. And that's why you're having great difficulty in being able to go deep into what is going on. I mean, look at this ideal example is the essay. There's been a lot of noise about it. Not a single statement has come from the president yet. And you would expect him to say something about it. But nothing, absolutely nothing. So I'm glad that this is now coming to the public domain and we can get some answers. And fortunately, there is some questions to the minister, which I think is being answered on Wednesday. He's perhaps going to have to answer these questions as well. But you can't rule out the fact that their close relationship is having an impact, you know, on what is happening in the country, particularly in the failures of state-owned entities and other things. Remember, the president needs him for his conference in December. He cannot take any action, even if he wanted to right now.
Yes, I'm looking at this message from Fahim. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmad, how true is it that Ace Magashule is complaining that the FBI and the NPA are in cahoots to make sure that he doesn't stand for the presidency of this country? He is quite adamant that if he gets a nomination, he will have a landslide victory. Ahmad, how do you respond there to Fahim?
Well, that's being very, very optimistic that he can win outright. It's good that a politician at least believes, despite all the serious allegations, that he can get an outright win, which is good. But it also clearly shows the state of politics in the country, doesn't it? But on the issue of interference, he's always been raising concerns that there's interference by the international community, by big business, by the allies of President Cyril Ramaphosa. He is being targeted because he's a serious threat. You know, Zweli Mkhize has been saying exactly the same thing. Many others are raising concerns about that as well. So, yeah, you know, you can't rule out these things. Remember that some international communities influence the decision in other countries. You've seen what has happened in the United States presidency not long ago. You can see the interference by the United States, particularly in many other countries. You know, the regime change and the role that they play in there. So, yes, now the fact that Cyril Ramaphosa has just had a chat with Joe Biden and just visited him recently, you can expect the support of the United States. You can expect the support of the UK. That is why you would find that you know, big business are always aligned with President Cyril Ramaphosa. So in their own interest, in any event, big business will also support Cyril Ramaphosa. And, of course, if they can influence some of the decisions through the CIA, FBI, and the media itself, and the influence that they have in the criminal justice system in the country and things like that, of course, it can have an impact on people like Ace Magashule if he wants to go for that position of whether, I don't know, he wants chairperson, because it's confusing. Sometimes it's chair. Some are saying he'll be a good president. Others are saying a lot of other things. But be that as it may, I think the problem we're sitting on right now is that there will be some interference, there's no doubt about it, because remember, those that have an interest in this country have to protect their own interest, and to protect their own interest, they have to have their people there. And Cyril Ramaphosa is the blue-eyed boy of the big business, so of course, that's where it has to be in any event.
Absolutely. Jamiat says, Assalamu alaikum, Shafa'at. I must tell you that consciously connected rocks from start to end. You have the world-class guest, and Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam is a cherry on the top. He goes on to say, Islamophobia has been a uniting factor between far-right Hindus and far-right Zionists, and they seem to be having a field day. Why don't we have our leaders, our Muslim leaders, that will talk out against these Islamophobes, the Hindus and the Zionists? It seems as if they are more busy having alliances with these people and opening business deals with them. Please, Ahmad, put this to bed and bring this up in international forums. Ahmad, how do you respond there?
I must agree with our brother without any doubt that the Muslim Ummah, the community, is fast asleep, while these people are working together. And you can see what's happening in country, in like the UK, in Leicester, particularly in others, towns, it's gaining momentum. The evil forces against Ummah is uniting, while our people are divided, and now some of our people are colluding with them, assisting them, entering into deals with them, negotiating with them, you know. So yes, indeed, it's a matter for concern. There's no doubt about it, and it's time that we too came together and formed a block. We must not forget that no matter what our differences are, that we are Muslims. We're part of the Ummah, so we have a responsibility to stand together and unite to defend the Ummah, defend the deen. And our people are not doing that. I mean, many of our people are in the hands and pockets of, you know, your greatest enemies. There's no doubt about it. Yet you have all the resources in the world, all the power in the world, all the knowledge in the world. And yet, you know, it's in the hands of others. So I agree with the brother that a lot more needs to be done by members of the Ummah.
This message says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad. I notice there's a lot of nepotism in government rankings, also in the municipalities. Is jobs for pals and jobs for family members also. How aware are you of this in parliament? Is nepotism rife there? Ahmad, that's a very good question. You find nepotism everywhere. You know, there's nepotism in jobs and many other things. Your thoughts?
Well, yes, definitely it exists in Parliament and everywhere else. If you look at my latest media statement that went out 2 days ago, it's something that I've been raising for the last 5, 6, 7 years on local government and the corruption there and cadre deployment. And, you know, last week, the Director General of Treasury, she also said exactly the same thing after I addressed the Standing Committee on Appropriations. She agreed that politicians are the ones that are interfering. They decide who the municipal managers, who the directors, CFOs, and things will be, and they also dictate which contracts must be given to who. So corruption is rife, cadre deployment is rife, nepotism is rife. I give you a good example in Parliament, and maybe Brother Jamil can tell us why would anybody who was receiving 5.6 billion rand a year will decide to go for a salary of 2.4 million. Are you willing to do that, Brother Shafat? I'm not. I don't know why anybody else would take a drop of 3.2 million a year. But yes, he did that. But let me tell you what happened. There is an employee in Parliament that committed suicide in protest against the way he was treated by the manager. Beauty of it is this, according to the reports I have, the manager did not have the qualification, neither did the experience to get the job. He was a former member of parliament for the ANC. When his term of office expired, they gave him this job despite the fact that there were so many people qualified that applied for the job. He took on the job, and the Public Service Commission found him guilty on some of the offenses leveled against him, which led to the suicide of a member of parliament, if you remember, not long ago, that shot himself. But despite that, they went again, and after giving him the job, he's now earning 2.2 million, Brother Shafat. He does not have the qualifications at all. He's never had it when they gave him the job, but they went and extended it for another 8 months. Despite all the uproar over it, 2 weeks ago, they went to the new secretary, okay, who took a drop of 3.2 million in salary, extends this man's contract for one more further year. despite the fact that the Public Service Commission found him guilty. The audit committee found he does not have the experience and the qualification. The staff are complaining. Somebody committed suicide, but this man still got a one-year extension. Can you believe it? Now, and yes, he's an ANC member of them because he was a former ANC member of parliament many years ago. So if this is not nepotism, if this is not cadre deployment, so do we think the president is serious when he says we need to deal with cadre deployment, get the people best with the best capacity to do the job? No, he's not serious. He's playing lip service to the 62 million people now in the country. If the estimates are correct, they're not serious about it. They will never, never, ever give up cadre deployment. I have requested that you have an independent body, nothing to do with politicians, to appoint staff in all government institutions, in all spheres of government. I've been raising this time and time again. They will not do it. Do you know why? Because how will the political parties survive? How will they sustain themselves? Because that is how they get funded, by putting in their own people there. So they make sure that tenders and things will go their way. And these business people that they give the tenders fund them. So they control all these things. And that's why they will never get away from cadre deployment. Why should a mayor, many of them can't even read and write, decide who a person must, then you must have certain qualifications. Can you imagine you interviewing somebody to get this job, but you don't have the qualification? Like I said the other day, you sometimes find a person interviewing a graduate for a job of a principal of a school, but he's hardly ever been to school, but he's on the governing body and he's going to be interviewing this person. It's exactly the same thing you're having in politics of today.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmed. We have run out of time. It's a Juzah day. The Quran's coming up. You have a lovely, beautiful day. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.